Welcome to That's a Freebie. I'm Diggy, and this week I've got a bunch of stories from last week, and I'm going to fact check Olaf from Frozen. Yes, you heard that right. I'm going to fact check a snowman. I'm also going to share my pick of the week and, of course, so much more. But first, as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask Be Anything question. This week's question is, what's your favourite white elephant gift? Now, I had to look this up because, not going to lie, I had no idea what a white elephant gift is. So apparently a white elephant gift exchange, Yankee Swap or Dirty Santa is a party game where amusing and impractical gifts are exchanged during festivities. The goal of a white elephant gift exchange is to entertain partygoers rather than to gain a genuinely valuable or highly sought item. Okay, never heard of that before. I have never participated in that before. However, I have done Secret Santa, so it's kind of similar as far as I can tell. Usually the gifts are either good or funny. So I will share my, well, actually two favourite Secret Santa gifts because one of them does get an honourable mention for being the best gift that I got from a Secret Santa. And it is I got a mug. And the mug basically is just a little picture of my face. And it's really, really cool. I like it very much. I still use it to this day. And yeah, love it. And the other one is I received a book as a gift. And the book is called How to Fart at Work. Now, I have a bit of a reputation for being the person that farts at work. Now, actually been really good lately. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I did used to be pretty bad. And it's a good book. It's obviously a comedy book, but it's delivered in such a way that it doesn't seem like it's supposed to be a comedy book. It's like an actual, like, it gives out proper facts and advice on how to efficiently fart at work. So, for example, one of the first pages in the book is the fart facts. And it says, let's start with the numbers. Every employee farts on average of 8 to 15 times a day in the workplace. Everyone farts quietly in the office and nobody talks about it, yet the evidence is everywhere. A colleague comes out of a lift and seems unhappy to see you. When you enter the lift, you find it smells really bad. A teammate jumps from his seat to attend to something important, but only a minute later returns to his desk empty-handed. Your boss starts talking to you, then begins to fidget and leaves hastily. Yeah, seen all these things happen, done most of these things. One of the pages says, how to break wind in your office. If this question seems simple to you, it means you have not thought enough about it and that you take risks. For the launch, you have two choices. Stay at your desk and lift your leg, or move and lift your leg. The second technique is the best because it is often less noisy. We also recommend that you think before acting. You should always anticipate that a person can come into your office the second after you launch. Consider farting in the corner of your office when nobody goes. So yeah, it's a good book. I will leave a link to it in the show notes because pretty good book. You should totally check it out. I have never read it cover to cover, but I do pick it up from time to time and just have a quick browse through it. And it's a great book for that. It's like a good coffee table book. So, yeah, How to Fart at Work. Great book. If you'd like to ask a question to open the show, all you need to do is visit That's a Freebie. Hit the ask button, or you can use the hashtag AskBeAnything on any social media. I'm sure I'll find it eventually. But before we do anything else, what do we need to do? We need to play the theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
So this week, let's start with a health update, shall we? As you can probably tell just from the sound of my voice, and if you're watching the video, the fact that I don't look blotchy or swollen, I'm feeling a lot better. Everything worked out, so stopping that medication and then slowly starting again seems to have worked. I'm on a much smaller dose than I was on before, like considerably smaller. Like I'm taking two tablets in the morning and one in the evening, where I was taking nearly six and four previously. So everything seems great. I've had more energy than usual, less tablets, less sleepiness. And yeah, let's hope that carries on. I'm not counting my blessings just yet, because it does this sometimes and then it goes really bad. But I've been back to work. Everything has been wonderful. So yeah, let's have a look at some of the stories I've got from this week. So what happened this week? Actually, it is the last week thinking about it, maybe week and a half. We went to the Maritime Museum at Liverpool. So it's near the docks. Really nice museum. It has a Titanic section. That was the main reason we went. My daughter loves the Titanic and all things about it ever since she did a topic about it at school. So it is something that we've been wanting to show her for a while. We actually took her a few months ago when they were doing the topic at school and it was closed. So it was a bit gutted about that. So we decided to take her again for the bank holiday. She loved it. There is also on the top floor, and I didn't realize this, there is actually a museum of slavery as well, and it is a very interesting museum. There are exhibits in there that you just don't expect to see. There was a KKK outfit on display, and I really wasn't expecting to see that. It took me back a bit. Wow, that makes it sound like I'm reminiscing. Took me aback a bit. And yeah, it was hard to even look at it and walk past it, to be truthful, because, well, of everything that it symbolizes. And I think what was quite bad is the number of people that were taking selfies with it and like doing duck face. And it really hurt me to be there and see that kind of thing happening. It wasn't nice. So if you go, prepare yourself for that. I don't want to talk much more about the Slavery Museum. I don't want to be a downer, and I will if I carry on. But that said, you should totally go and look, because it's interesting to see what happened. It's interesting to learn. And honestly, the only way, and I tried explaining this to my daughter, because she was getting particularly upset by the whole thing. She's very sensitive to things like, well, anything really. She's very sensitive to things that can hurt your feelings, can make you scared, that kind of stuff. And she was having a bit of a difficult time. But I explained to her that the only way we get better is to learn about how bad we've been as people. And that helped a little bit. Not a lot. It helped a bit. It made her want to learn while she was there, which was good. I liked to see that in her. So that was a good thing to see. The other thing that's in there that is hard to see, but very interesting to see, because it gave me another perspective that, like, I'd known all along that this was the case, but it doesn't hit you in quite the same way. So in the Titanic part, there is there's a whole bunch of walls that's got the names of the crew and the passengers, and it tells you who was saved and who was lost. And you don't, like, I'd never appreciated the sheer scale of the number of people that were on that ship. Like, you've seen the movie, you've read the news articles, you've seen the photographs of the, you know, the real photographs, the real movies of it setting off, and like the survivors coming back and all that kind of stuff. But nothing can, like, prepare you for seeing all of the names written down. There's a lot of them. And the one thing that really struck me when looking at it is there was a lot of broken families. So you'd read through the names, and almost every time there'd be like a group of names with obviously the same surname and the ages. The children had survived, but the parents hadn't, or one parent had. But more often than not, or from what it seemed from the ones I read, a lot of children lost both the parents that day. And of course, they did women and children first off the ship, so it makes sense. Like, I understand, but I'd never really considered the impact of letting women and children go first means that you've got children without parents, And it just never really hit me in the same way it had. I'd always understood that and known that, but yeah, it really, really drove it home. It's interesting to see, again, one of those things that, you know, if you don't pay attention to it, you don't learn from it, is what I was trying to say. The other place we went in the last week was Jodrell Bank. Never been before. Beautiful radio telescope. And it moved while we were there. We were really happy to see it. It was fantastic. Both kids loved it. There was a little demonstration where a guy set a fake rocket off. He made a rocket out of a bottle and he set it off and it shot across the room and it made everybody jump. That was funny. But the best part of the whole Jodrell Bank trip was actually the trip there. So quite a while ago now, like we're talking maybe 2 months ago, my daughter was sat in the front of the car because we've started trying to split them up a little bit because when they're together in the back of the car, one of them annoys the other and they just end up fighting. They can't help it. It's just the age gap is like she's just a little bit more mature than he is now. So she wants to listen to the radio. She wants to sing along to her favorite songs. He's trying to do the same because he's trying to be like his big sister. But he's just a little bit immature in that he'll change the words or he'll do it too loudly or he doesn't know the song, can't tell what they're saying, so he sings the wrong words and it annoys her. And, you know, we're doing the thing where you try and explain, but the issue isn't necessarily that he's annoying you. It's that you're getting annoyed because he's not actually doing anything wrong. He's only doing the same thing you are, but they end up fighting. So she sat in the front of the car and she's asking me about all the buttons. We were sat, I think we were actually sat in the car park at Aldi while my wife ran in to grab something. And it's just easier than taking both kids in. So she ran in to grab some and she's asking me about the buttons in the car. And the button that's for recycling the air in the car, she said, "What's that one?" And just not thinking about it at all, I just said, "It's the ejector seat." And she's like, "Why has it got an ejector seat?" So I was like, "Well, you know, if I'm driving along and, you know, somebody rips open the car door and jumps in the car, I want to be able to get them out. I want a way to get that person out quickly." So you press that button and after about 2 or 3 seconds, it ejects them just to give you enough time to turn it off. And she really got fixated on this ejector seat. Obviously, I didn't really think about it. It's because she was sat in the seat that would have ejected if it was pressed. And she's like, "It's a bit easy to press, isn't it? It should be behind a cover." I'm like, "Ah, it's fine. You know, when you're in a car, the person who presses the buttons is only the driver. So as long as I know what I'm pressing, it's fine. You know, if you don't go pressing buttons that you shouldn't be pressing, all will be good." Fast forward 2 months to our visit to Jodrell Bank, and it's a red hot sunny day. So I've got the air conditioning on, and I wanted to recycle the air because it means the air conditioning doesn't work as hard. I don't know if it's like that in every car, but it works like that in ours. So we're driving along and I just casually pressed the button and she went, "Ah!" And I'm looking at her and she's staring at me, but she's not saying anything, but she looked terrified. So I'm driving along. So I'm trying to concentrate on driving and I'm side-eyeing her. I said, like, "What's wrong?" And she went, "Ah! And she's pointing at the button and I went, "What?" And she's like, "Ah!" And it clicked. And I went, Oh, it's not an ejector seat." Excuse me. I said, "It's not an ejector seat. It's just for recycling the air in the car." And she's like, "What?" And she was full on panicking. I felt really bad because I'd forgotten that I'd said it. If I'd have remembered I'd said it, I would have told her beforehand that I was joking. I just assumed she knew I was kidding. All right, this is where things get complicated. So, over the course of the last few weeks, I've been really trying to decide what to do with this second section of the podcast. And I've come up with all kinds of ideas. And I've said, you know, I'll rotate them in and out. I'll have a different type of content each week. And I'm just finding that it restricts me too much doing that. Because 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had an idea for something that I wanted to do. But I was like, right, well, I actually can't do that for another 8 episodes because I've already got all this stuff planned. And I couldn't just swap it out because of like time restrictions and things like that for some of the stuff I wanted to do. So what I've actually decided to do is this second section, which actually I might move some of the other things, like I might put the gripe of the week in between it. But this section, I've decided I'm going to start calling it the topic of the week. Just as simple as that. And then that way I can put whatever I want in there. And I'm also finding that some of the things are drying up. Like the whole Alex thing is really hard to get some content out of now. It was fun while it lasted, but it's really hard to actually get like some meaningful conversation out of it because there's only so much that you can get from it. I will do one more Alex episode. I promise I will complete it. What's really annoying is as well, I came up with something really cool going forward for Alex, which you'll see in next week's episode. I'll break up with Alex next week is essentially what I'm going to do. It's not to say Alex won't come back. There is, I'll discuss that more next week. I'll save that for next week. But so basically what it's going to be, it's going to be my topic of the week, which could be anything. It could be a common misconception. It could be a Wikipedia article. It could be news that I've seen. Whatever goes in that topic usually is going to be the same sort of stuff. But I'm not going to be as restricting myself to where and when it can happen. And I'm still going to do the Wikipedia thing, the Wiki Speaks. But I'm actually going to have broadened it a little bit because, again, I don't want to be defined by just what's available as Wikipedia topics. There are a few ideas I've had and a few topics that I want to talk about. And there is no Wikipedia article, or there is, but it's three or four different articles that you'd have to research in order to get that information. So I'm going to do the same thing, but it's going to be just a topic rather than specifically just a Wikipedia article. So that clears it up a little bit. I don't think I'll like talk about how it's happening again. I'm just going to do it. And I think I finally hit the way I want to portray this information. So this week, like I said at the beginning, I'm going to be doing some fact checking of Olaf from Frozen. Now, why, you might think, am I fact checking a snowman? Well, in Frozen 2, which I watched just the other night with my daughter, there's a section where they're traveling to the forest that they're headed to, and Olaf spouts out a whole bunch of facts. And every single one of them, she said, "Is that true? Is that true? Is that true?" So I thought, you know what? I'll write them all down. I'll do a little bit of research and we'll find out if it's true or not. And so that's what we're going to do now. So the first one that he spouts is that water has memory. Now, this is a bit of a contentious one from what I've seen. Now, water itself doesn't have memory. It doesn't remember it doesn't have the memories of the people that it's been through. Is the way Olaf puts it. And that's obvious. It's obviously not going to do that. But you could technically say that water has memory because it picks up different bacterias and all kinds of stuff from where it's been previously, and it takes it with it. So, you know, you could argue that, you're walking down the street, you stand in a puddle. That puddle will, and you get bacteria off your feet into that puddle. That puddle will eventually evaporate, go up into the clouds. The clouds will then rain down wherever they rain. And that same bacteria that was picked up is dropped by the cloud. Thus, there is a little bit of memory there, but it's not really memory, is it, in the way we think about it? So that one is a big no. Water doesn't have memory. Then the next one is that turtles breathe through their butts. So some turtles, especially those in diving, are highly reliant on cloacal respiration during dives. They accomplish this by having a pair of accessory air bladders connected to the cloaca, which can absorb oxygen from the water. Now, I did at one point think might have been cloaca. However, I have found that there are two potential pronunciations for it. So I've been going with cloaca, but whatever you want, really. It's C-L-O-A-C-A. So they do this by using something called enteral respiration. It's also referred to as cloacal respiration or intestinal respiration as a form of respiration in which gas exchange occurs across the epithelia of the enteral system, and usually in caudal cavity, which is the cloaca or cloaca. This is used in various species as an alternative respiration mechanism in hypoxic environments as a means to supplement blood oxygen. So yeah, technically, turtles can breathe through their butts, but it's because they've got additional organs in which to do that from. The next one is that lightning strikes more men than women. What do we think here? Well, the odds of being hit by lightning in a person's lifetime are 1 in 13,500, and men are much more likely to be struck and killed than women, according to data from the National Weather Service. And there's a really straightforward answer to why that this is the case. And it's because men are more likely to put themselves in situations that are dangerous. And yeah, I can totally see that. It's definitely a boys thing doing stupid stuff, essentially. Not to say girls are not like that as well, but apparently it's something that you find that boys and men are more likely to do. This is my favourite one. Wombats poop in squares. What do we think on this one? I really hoped that this was true. Researchers say that the distinctive cube shape of wombat poop, so it's true, is caused as a result of the drying of the feces in the colon and the muscular contractions which form the uniform size at the corners of the poop. Bare-nosed wombats are renowned for producing distinctive cube-shaped poos. So there you have it. Yeah, wombats do, in fact, poop in squares. And people blink 4 million times a day. Well, Olaf was a little bit over the top with this one. It's not quite 4 million times. So how many times does the average person blink per day? Most adults blink about 14 to 17 times a minute. That comes out to 840 to 1,020 blinks every hour. And if you sleep for 8 hours every night, that means you probably blink about 13,440 to 16,320 times a day whilst you're awake. So not quite the 4 million times that Olaf suggested. So it's time to say thank you. As always, I like to include this every single week. Thank you for listening. Please do feel free to go and leave your review on the podcast app that you're listening to. Take a look at the YouTube channel. You can get access to that by heading over to thatsafreebie.com. There is a link on there. Or you can just search for That's a Freebie podcast on YouTube. The show notes for this episode include links to all of the social media, including the YouTube channel. And I do also now have a Patreon page, which I've mentioned before. And as of this week, there are now 2 tiers available on Patreon, and you do get extras as well. So I have a tier that gives you access to what I'm calling the unpolished feed. So the unpolished feed is basically 100% a audio feed of the show as I recorded it. So some podcasts call this the bootleg. So there'll be no edits made to it. None of the chopping about of it will be done. It is just purely as happens. So if I make a mistake, that will be in there. If I happen to accidentally swear, that'll be in there. Everything will be in there, completely unedited. Now, if you listen to it, you'll hear that the sound effects are in it. That's because I've changed the way this week how I'm doing the recording so that the sound effects can be included. And if you're watching the video, you'll see that I've got some nice new graphics on the screen as well. So go and have a look at that. But then there is a second Patreon tier that you can subscribe to. And these are £3 and £5 per month. The £5 one is going to include That's a Freebie Uncut. Now, there are some stories that I just can't tell on this podcast because they're not right for the podcast, or they might need to be explicit, or they might be about explicit topics. And I thought to myself, well, why don't I do a whole other podcast that includes that kind of information? And then I thought, well, actually, that's that's a lot of work. And I don't have time for that kind of work. And then I realized that actually I don't have to do a whole podcast. I can just visit each topic. So I can, there is one on there now. You might have noticed, eagle-eared listeners last week might have noticed that there was no gripe of the week. And it's because I cut it out. Because there was no way I could tell the story without being explicit. And I was going to just beep it all out. But I decided I didn't want to do that because it's great content for the Uncut feed. So I cut that out, and that's just available there now. And it's a complaint about my next door neighbor. And some people who know me know about my issues with my next door neighbor. So you might find that very interesting. That's available on the £5 tier. And you're not going to miss out on anything by not subscribing to the Patreon. This podcast is staying. Nothing's changing. It's not going to become where all the content is available on there only. It's just you're going to get access to all my mistakes, if I make them. And you'll get access to the stories that are not right for this podcast. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be able to add those every single month. I've got a few lined up, but it's more of an ongoing thing. So you might want to dip in and out of subscription. You'll always get access to the previous stuff that's there. So just there in case you want it. For the gripe of the week this week, I have been seeing a influx of videos on YouTube or Reels or wherever. I'll be actually thinking about it. For me, it's mostly Reels. If I'm going to be doing a bit of doom scrolling of the old short videos, Reels is probably the place I would do it. And it's this whole, oh, I let my intrusive thoughts win. And you've got someone who's sat there like in front of the lunch or the tea or the dinner, whatever meal you want to call it. And they've got a fork and they go, and they jab themselves in the cheek. And they're like, this is what happens when you let your intrusive thoughts win. Well, no, that's not what that is. That's just you being an absolute plonker. Let's define what an intrusive thought is. An intrusive thought is an unwelcome, involuntary thought, image, or unpleasant idea that may become an obsession, is upsetting or distressing, and can feel difficult to manage or eliminate. When such thoughts are associated with obsessive-compulsive disorder, Tourette's syndrome, depression, body dysmorphic disorder, and sometimes attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, the thoughts may become paralyzing, anxiety-provoking, or persistent. That's not poking yourself in the face with a fork. That's not walking up to somebody in the street and touching their face. That's just you being a right? That is not letting your intrusive thoughts win, right? We need to stop this trend because all it's doing is giving people permission to go out and be absolute asses and do things to people to annoy people. That's all it's doing. Stop it. Well, here we are with the pick of the week. This week's pick of the week is a gaming service. It's called GeForce Now. I think I have actually mentioned GeForce Now before. It's a great way of playing games if you haven't got a console or a PC that you can play them on. I only have a Mac. It's great for playing games. There just aren't actually many games available for it. And I do like playing games where I can. So I resubscribed to GeForce Now. I've had it before. I tend to, if there's a game I want to play, I subscribe, I play the game, and then I unsubscribe once I've finished the game. And I really wanted to play Fallout 4 again, so I subscribed and started playing Fallout 4. I also wanted to play, weirdly, I never played Shadow of the Tomb Raider when that came out, and I noticed that that was on there, so I've started playing that as well. I previously purchased it, but I never actually played it. And what GeForce does is it basically just streams games to your screen, whatever screen you want. You can do it to your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac. You can do it to an Apple TV. You can do it to, I have an LG TV and there's an app on there for it that's available. It's really, really good. And you don't have to worry about the power of your device. Because it's all just streamed. So you can play on ultra settings and it looks really fantastic. It's like 20 quid a month, but it's worth it if you like to play games. And I do. So there you go. I'll leave a link in the show notes just so you can have a look. But yeah, really good service. And for this week's finale, I actually discovered something whilst doing some fact checking this week. So when I was doing the fact checking for the Olaf stuff, I actually discovered that people with a foot fetish really like losing. And you know why that is? It's because they like defeat.